What up, what up? This is your man, Octavius Williams, coming to you live from Cypher Avenue Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. And of course, I got another Aki Williams podcast on deck. So you see the topic, right? I'm not trying to be purposely controversial by any means, nor am I trying to be disrespectful by any means. But I do want to broach this topic and speak on nuances that I feel like are not being properly discussed when it comes to HIV in the Black community. And this came about through two social media incidences. And as I record this podcast, the day of, I heard a young lady who's an HIV activist on the radio. And I said, you know what, I gotta talk about this because I don't feel like this is being explored or dug into as it properly needs to be, right? So let me start with the two social media incidences first. One of them came a couple months ago. You know how guys are with on social media. You don't a person will be a part of a group, and you may not be a part of the group, but they can tag you in so you can see the conversation, right? So I saw the conversation. I didn't read it all because I'm like, you know what? I don't even feel like being bothered with what I felt at the time was some fuckeries. But basically, a guy was a part of a group that I'm friends with, social media friends with on Facebook, right? And he would say, hey, you know, I got my physical back, you know, I'm HIV negative, you know, basically props to me type thing. And people in the group was like, yo, you shaming. Well, why do you have to talk about your HIV negative? Why are you like throwing it up in people's faces? Are you trying to say like you better? And keep in mind, his message to start the thread was basically, I got my physical, I'm HIV negative, all my blood work came back fine when it came to diabetes and all this other stuff. Here's a Black man going to the doctor and putting out there that he's happy, everything checked out okay. And that was received negatively. And it was, I'm like, damn, you know, these cats are here crying, you shaming. It was kind of like the Walk of Atonement with Cersei on Game of Thrones. Shame. That was a couple weeks or a couple months ago, right? So recently, as within the last week of me recording this, a member who is a part of the message forum on Cypher Avenue said he had a literally the exact same thing happen to him. He started a thread. It's like, yo, why am I being chastised on social media by Black gay men because I said I got my test results back and I'm HIV negative? Why are they blasting me as I'm shaming them? And I'm like, since when does saying your HIV negative status equal shaming? How does that equal shaming someone who's HIV positive? Question mark. You know, that's the little bulb that goes off, you know, on top of my head or whatever. Then today, as I record this, there was a HIV AIDS activist on the radio. And as she's going through, you know, her spiel about HIV and activism and stigma and what have you, she's basically stated, why don't, and I'm not laughing, but her comment took me completely off guard. She said, we don't blame people who develop diabetes from eating bad foods. And we don't blame people who develop lung cancer from smoking. So why do we blame Black gay men who have unprotected sex if they get infected with HIV? Everybody has had unprotected sex. I was like, wow. Yes, a lot of people do have unprotected sex, right? But if a heterosexual couple has unprotected sex, but one of them contracts a disease, a STI from the other, or there's a unforeseen or unplanned pregnancy that come about, is anybody really, who else is to blame for that? And yes, I think we do blame people who eat bad foods or eat unhealthy and develop diseases and afflictions. I think we do blame people who say, wait a minute, well, you got lung cancer, you should have been smoking 4 packs a day. But somehow saying, hey, gay men, if you practice unsafe sex and you get infected with HIV, you're not to blame. Or we shouldn't blame them. Well, who else is there to blame? And I think maybe in her message, she was attempting to say, well, blame equals stigma, and we should be trying to stigmatize people who catch an STI because all of us have engaged in or practice unprotected sex. That aspect, I maybe understand what she's saying, but that's not necessarily how she presented it to the listening audience. And I was somewhat, you know, taken aback by that. And, you know, and before, I'm old enough to remember, before, you know, the HIV drug breakthroughs and, the revolution of the cocktail, a lot of people listening, especially young cats, y'all don't even know about the HIV cocktail. All y'all know Struvada. Y'all don't even know about the cocktail from back in the day. Before the development of any of that stuff, it was very probable that if you became infected with HIV, it would develop into AIDS and you would die. And I feel like now, 25 years later, we've somewhat gotten to the point that we can't properly really discuss HIV because we are concerned about, within the discussion, are we going to be shaming someone and whose feelings are going to get hurt by speaking honestly? And are we going to be politically correct or incorrect with some things that we say or how we feel? Which I think is kind of dangerous, by the way, because I think it adds, it doesn't help. I think it hurts when we kind of dance on eggshells around this issue. Let me just read some, here's always the kind of morbid part of when we have these conversations. So let me read you some stats from the CDC, right? So out of new AIDS diagnosis, this is AIDS, not HIV. In 2015, the South, when I say the South, of course, I'm referring to the United States, accounted for 52% of the newly 18 plus thousand AIDS diagnoses, right? So again, we're not speaking about HIV, we're talking about full-blown AIDS. That was followed by the Northwest with 18%, followed by the West, which is 17%, and then the Midwest at 12%. And again, everything I'm about to read to you right now comes from the CDC directly from their website. It said gay and bisexual men accounted for 83% close to 30,000 of estimated new HIV diagnoses among all males age 13, that's just becoming a teenager, and older, and 67% of the total estimated new diagnoses in the United States. Gay and bisexual men aged 13 to 24, accounted for an estimated 92% of new HIV diagnoses amongst all men in their age group, and 27% of new diagnoses amongst all gay and bisexual men. Gay and bisexual men accounted for an estimated 54%, a little bit over 11,000, of people diagnosed with AIDS, full-blown AIDS. Of those men, 39% were African-American. 32% were white, and 24% were Hispanic or Latino. In 2014, 44%, close to 19,500 of estimated new HIV diagnoses in the United States were among African Americans, who comprised 12% of the U.S. population. Among all African Americans diagnosed with HIV in 2014, an estimated 73% were men and 26% were women. Among all African Americans diagnosed with HIV in 2014, an estimated 57% were gay and bisexual. And of those gay and bisexual men, 39% were men, young men, between the ages of 13 and 24. To put this in some perspective, right, check this out. This came from the Advocate website. It said the nation with the highest rate of HIV prevalence is Swaziland. It's a tiny landlocked kingdom in South Africa, about 27% prevalence. The second highest rate is nearby Botswana with 25%. If America's black, gay, and bisexual men comprise a nation unto itself, that nation would soon have the world's highest rates of infection. Twice as high as its closest rivals. Now, here's the part where, you know, where I begin to may become offensive to some people. So in the United States, HIV is primarily, you heard the stats, HIV is primarily a non-heterosexual disease, right? So yes, people from all walks of life, regardless of race, gender, and sexuality, have been infected with HIV. Nonetheless, it still primarily impacts gay and bisexual men. And if simply bringing this up, like for real, any type of a forum, you know, this is my own. So I'm somewhat speaking, you know, by myself to the listening audience. But if I brought this up in anywhere that had a social media or I was in front of a live studio audience, so to speak, a lot of people would perceive what I'm saying is shaming and that I'm, you know, attaching stigma and I'm being politically incorrect by making the statement that I just made. Even though the stats are there, those numbers are there, what matters more is feelings and how you're making someone feel. Because, you know, feelings, it seems like, are definitely not stopping the infection rates here. Come on now. And, you know, to go even further, as you just heard, black men, we're a fucking minority in the United States, but we are infected at disproportionate rates. But it seems like when I hear, especially right around World AIDS Day every single year, I hear the same type of narrative, right? So what I hear most, or to me, what I see and hear get promoted is get tested, know your status, and HIV is not a death sentence. Get tested, know your status, HIV is no longer a death sentence. That's the same kind of three-point narrative or talking points I hear over and over again. But what I don't hear more is of black men or black men who sleep with men being celebrated or acknowledged or championed for their HIV negative status. I see the opposite. When a black man says he's HIV negative, he's attacked, you know, by those in gay culture. It seems like, why are you talking about that? Or why are you throwing that up in our face? What are you trying to say? Are you trying to act like you're better than? And what we don't hear more about are how black men, by these HIV negative black men, we don't hear about how they possibly were abstinent or they practiced celibacy because, you know, they wanted to save themselves for whatever reason. We don't see or hear them talk about or being promoted like, yo, I use condoms every single time and I never waver from using condoms. And we also, at least to what I'm seeing, maybe I'm not seeing everything, but, you know, I kind of been doing this for 5 years now. We don't see or hear from the black men who say, hey, I'm HIV negative because I use a condom every single time. We don't hear that. What we hear is, get tested, know your status, HIV is not a death sentence. And we hear from the HIV activists, right? But it's the majority of them, how can I, and again, I'm trying to be respectful here. The majority of HIV activists are HIV positive themselves. And the narrative that a lot of them present, because I've been seeing it for years now, it's kind of almost, you know, at this point now it's repetitive. I see the same thing from almost from every single activist. It's like, hey, I'm an activist. You know, I've been HIV positive for X amount of years. This is how I got infected. This is how I found out about it. This is how I overcame and rose above. And now I'm living a healthy, normal life. That's pretty much the narrative, what I see and hear from HIV activists. Followed by, get tested, know your status. HIV is not a death sentence. It's almost like a no worries type thing. Well, like, you know, once you find out about it, you'll be empowered. And when you see all the billboards and advertisements for HIV AIDS, everyone is smiling. Everyone is happy. Everyone is joyful. And there's that's an image that you're seeing. It's like, yo, my life has not been dramatically impacted by contracting HIV. HIV has allowed me to live a happy and fulfilling life. And I get it. You know, don't get me wrong. It's like, okay, once you... That's what any type of possibly life-changing or life-altering disease or ailment. It's like, yo, once you're... For a lot of people, once you've been impacted or once you've been put into a life or death situation, your mindset about life changes. You feel like, oh, I'm not going to waste my life anymore. You know, the sky's the limit. And I'm going to live life to the fullest. So I get it. Right? I definitely understand and I get it. But all you see when it comes to HIV AIDS awareness and the imagery that you see are happy people. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's happy. And then let's not even talk about the damn weird ass ads that have half naked men or you know, talking about safe sex and AIDS and getting tested, or the motherfuckers that are covered in body paint. That's what type of message is that sending? You here we are trying to talk about AIDS and HIV awareness, and you got naked men being paraded around in ads. That seems weird to me. Like, is that a mix? Is that or is that not a mixed message that's being sent? I don't know. Maybe that's just my own perception. It just seems weird. But it also seems like the overall message of HIV activism and awareness is to get tested, and it's less about prevention. Everything is about knowing your status, becoming empowered by your status, so you can live a normal, happy life versus trying to prevent yourself from getting HIV in the first place. And I don't see the same vigor with prevention as I do knowing your status and being healthy about your HIV positive status. Also, you know, something I rarely ever hear about is when it comes to the HIV medication, which is the economic cost and possible financial impact to a quality of life. And this is something else from the CDC. The CDC estimates on average the lifetime cost of treatment in the United States is about $400,000. $400,000. So that amounts to billions of dollars for HIV treatment and studies, right? But what that doesn't take into account is the treatment for any other illnesses that you could face because your immune system has been impacted, right? So you may be thinking, hey, you know, I'm taking my HIV medication. You could be impacted with other diseases because you possibly could have a weakened immune system. So you don't hear about that. You don't hear about possible lost wages or productivity or any type of emotional or depression or that comes with just having a possibly life-threatening disease. You don't hear that. And it's not put out there. You don't hear about the financial toll and can you afford or can't you afford, or are you able to go to work, or what are the possible side effects when you first start? Is it debilitating? I've heard about them in my real life, but I don't hear about them through media, through mainstream media, through social media. You don't hear about that negative aspect or possible negative aspect. And I want to say, you know, if I can dare to say, at this point, I rarely hear anything negative about HIV. And I'm thinking like, okay, is this now, like the question of the podcast is, has this now become normalized? I can think back to a day, like if you hear the analogy, right? Kids growing up right now, when they think of the president of the United States, they don't know anything but Barack Obama, right? Of course, that's different now because we just had the elections and President-elect Trump is now the, you know, elected president. But you know, for, you know, at least the last year, last 2 years, we heard that, hey, kids growing up now, all they knew about is Barack Obama or a black president. That's what they knew as a president. And let me tell you why I'm bringing this up, right? For the last 10 to 15 years, gay bareback porn has been mainstream. That is the dominant porn that you see out there, whether it's, can I use the term mainstream production and or amateur porn. Bareback porn is the main thing you see when you see pornography online through the free porn sites, right? Now, when you think about it, go back to that statistic I read earlier. Men who sleep with men, or gay and bisexual young men or men, between the ages of 13 and 24 accounted for an estimated 92% of all HIV diagnoses among men in their age group. So a lot of these young men don't know anything when it comes to pornography related, but the majority of bareback gay porn. Now, AIDS, I think the first AIDS case was diagnosed back in like 1981 or 82. So between the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of gay bareback porn. And I'm old enough to remember that in the late 80s and early 90s, it became, because of HIV AIDS, it became taboo to see gay porn without condoms. It was just, you just didn't see it. It just didn't exist. Gay porn was not produced. There was no bareback gay porn. But today's gay teens and 20-somethings, that's pretty much the majority of pornography that they see. And we can try to dance around this all we want to. For a lot of us, the first time we were exposed to sex was via pornography. Whether that was magazines, disc, or streaming video. It is what it is. And I'm not one of those people to play games and say that media doesn't have an impact, because absolutely media has an impact. You know, media can shape narratives. It can shape elections. So yes, media, in my opinion, does have an impact. And I'm not trying to sit here. I do want to also stress, I'm not trying to sit here like I'm on some HIV negative high horse. Yes, I'm HIV negative. Good for me. However, I have dodged some bullets. And I'm not, if you heard Cypher Avenue podcast in the past, you know I've talked about some of the dangerous and unsafe things that I've done. So I'm not trying to sit here and act like I'm better than anyone by any means. And I understand how sex, natural sex, if you want to use raw, bareback, whatever you want to call it, that's how we got here. You know, we got here through raw sex. You know, homosexuals have been having raw bareback sex for thousands of years. This is not something new. But also, what isn't new is that, you know, STDs or STIs have also caused mass death in humans via raw, unprotected sex. That has happened well before HIV/AIDS. You know, syphilis was, at one point in time, was an untreatable disease that debilitated, made people disabled and or killed them, which led to death. That used to happen a lot also. So this is not something new. What we do know now is that we can prevent it. Yes, we can prevent contracting an STI, something like HIV/AIDS, which is, you know, transmitted through semen and blood. We know that can be prevented by wearing condoms or practicing safe sex. We know that now, right? But, you know, why don't we talk about what causes, and, you know, this, y'all know who I cater to. This is something that's, my website and podcast are primarily catered to black men, right? But as black men, why don't we talk about why we put ourselves in why do we put ourselves in compromising situations or put ourselves in danger to where our health is impacted? Could it be any type of mental health issues or any substance abuse issues or early untreated psychological issues or issues with trust and abandonment or even, you know, when you think about the homelessness amongst teenage black boys and also black men, that's a big deal. You know, when you out in the street, sometimes you can be desperate and you end up putting yourself in harm's way. Could also these factors in a way be related to why there are a large number of birth rates in the black community that are unwed, out of wedlock births? You know, could we tie some of those together as to why black men do some of the things we do, as far as putting ourselves in danger or in harm's way or putting ourselves in an unfavorable position? Because if we have children or multiple children, that's a financial impact also. So, you know, and I've heard for decades, we need more HIV and sex education. But, yeah, really, come on now. Like, who doesn't know that what birth control is? Do we not know that? Like as a society, forget just black men and the black community. As a society as a whole, are we seriously going to play like we don't know what safe sex and birth control is? Of course we do. But as it relates to the black community, I do feel that there's a spillover from our known and oral history of how black people were experimented on by doctors during slavery. Not only across America, but also across Africa. And that existed, you know, for hundreds of years. We were experimented on, especially black men, excuse me, black women early on. But later, you know, after the 1800s, black men were heavily experimented on also. So did that, I feel like that led to a healthy distrust of doctors and healthcare institutions, which could also possibly lead to us not getting tested and being, I hate to say this, but it is a, we telling the truth here. You have very large segments of black society who feel like AIDS is a man-made disease, don't trust doctors, it's a part of the Illuminati, and all this other stuff. But in the meantime, we're still dying and suffering. So you can believe about the Illuminati and AIDS is a man-made disease all you want to. How is that preventing you from putting on a condom? That doesn't make any sense. But whatever, right? So, I mean, but I do... I know you guys be thinking, well, you just talking about the problems. You're not talking about some solutions. But, you know, a solution I think we do, especially as far as gay men are concerned, black gay men or black gay non-heterosexual men, you know, I kind of frown upon that term gay. But I think we do need to promote and talk about non-penetrative sex. I think we need to talk about doing things like oral sex and mutual masturbation and humping or heavy petting and anal stimulation as options for us, versus just thinking the only time we can be sexually gratified is by having penetrative sex or penetrative raw sex. Yes, I understand with oral sex there are STIs can still be passed on, and yes, you still can get things like lice or crabs or even herpes from skin to skin contact. I get that, but herpes is not life threatening. Yes, it'll stay with you for life. Herpes is not life-threatening. It's not going to compromise your immune system to the point where, you know, your organs could potentially shut down. You know, crabs, I mean, come on, really? But, you know, you can develop certain diseases or certain cancers and syphilis through oral sex. I'm aware of that. But I still feel like we need to talk about the alternatives more than just sex. Penetrative sex. That's possibly a solution that can cut down or somewhat curb the HIV diagnosis numbers, and also of course, HIV undiagnosed can lead to full-blown AIDS. So I do think it's a possibility it could curb those numbers. Now, even though we know PrEP, which is, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, pre-exposure prophylaxis, PrEP, or Truvada, I believe is how you pronounce it. We know now that it's 90% effective in preventing HIV infections. If it's taken at least, I believe, 4 times per week, it's over 90% effective. In certain states, in municipalities like Washington State, San Francisco, West Hollywood have created like PrEP access programs. And I do believe even Georgia, even though funding was cut at one point or misappropriated, the funds were misappropriated, but I believe states like Georgia and also Washington, D.C. may have programs where you can get PrEP either at a low cost or a no cost. But studies still have shown, especially like in places like throughout the South, primarily like Atlanta, if we're going to use that as a hub, or if you will, or DC, we still know that a lot of times black men are still not going to get this free medication. So my thing is, you know, getting back again to solutions, you know, since we know HIV is at epidemic levels, in the black community, shouldn't we hear and see more about PrEP advertised on like The Real Housewives and Love and Hip Hop and The Breakfast Club and other urban radio shows and the BET Awards and Black Girls Rock and On Own and advertised on the abundance of damn Tyler Perry shows that litter cable TV? It's like, shouldn't there be like one advertisement per half hour or per hour? Talking about PrEP and the black community, have one commercial that caters to men or have another 30-second commercial that caters to women, since we know that this is 90% effective. They can't have at least one commercial. I consume a lot of media, and I can't recall, I have been looking at TV for a long time, but granted, I don't look at these reality shows. I have looked at award shows. I do listen to you know, radio, urban radio. Why am I not seeing or hearing any advertisements for PrEP at all? Now, granted, you know, around World AIDS Day or HIV AIDS, you know, the U.S. holiday, whatever. Yes, you hear this conversation brought up because it's around the holiday that we're supposed to talk about and recognize it, but throughout the other 50 weeks in the year, you really don't hear this. And one last thing, being that there is a multitude of these damn softcore black gay web series that seem to come out every single month. Now, I have seen a lot of them in these 5 years since I've been doing this website. Why don't you hear about any HIV awareness or PrEP PSAs in any of these web series? Or maybe just do like a PSA at the beginning and or the end or something. It may be working to a script every now and then, but the overall majority, this is not a topic. And you would think it would be, being that these black gay content creators are catering to a black gay audience, and they're the main ones around, you know, these couple times a year that will speak heavily about this and talk about it all on their social media pages, or even when there's some, you know, positive HIV conference or whatever, you may see them promoted then, but you're creating content and you're not even talking about something that is an epidemic to your audience. Come on now. So how do we hold these people accountable? Because again, you know, I don't want to come off like I'm all about the problems. I think I listed some pretty good solutions here. Why isn't anyone talking to these? Because we all know, let's be real. If you even take the black gay web series out of it, I named Real Housewives, Love and Hip Hop, BET Awards, Black Girls Rock, OWN, Tyler Perry. Don't you all know somebody who works in the industry that work on those shows? Gay folk. Don't Wendy Williams has a large gay audience? Have you heard or seen any commercials about PrEP or HIV awareness through the time that she's been on TV? So, hey, this is what I've experienced. This is what I've seen. As always, let me know what you think and feel. Am I off the mark here? Did I miss something? Is this a perspective that I'm not seeing that you want to bring to my attention? Even talk about your own experiences dealing with the black gay community or black gay culture. Any experiences you had concerning HIV AIDS or anything dealing with this topic, I would love to hear about it. I know our other viewers and listeners also would love to hear about it. Let us know. As always, please like, subscribe, and share. When you subscribe, what will happen is that when I come out with new videos, which I am coming out with videos a lot more frequently, you will receive an alert to let you know a new video has been posted. By all means, leave your comments, like, subscribe, share. Until next time, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Peace.